What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation the night I got saved. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching, but thank God I've been found. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. Now the one you knew then is not the one you see now. I was lost and I was searching. I was lost and I was searching. But thank God I know I've been found.
Are you glad you're saved this morning? Say amen. What a glorious time to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. What a great day he's made for us today. We're here to worship him in spirit and in truth. I think I'll sing that again. What a wonderful moment. What a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open. I can see the light of day.
What a great
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing that truth is that Jesus seeks and saves those that are lost. And again, I love telling my testimony. November 19th, 2002 is when I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I was lost. I was undone. I was seeking things in this world to fulfill the emptiness in my heart. Drugs, alcohol, all those kind of things, a high school dropout, and sought all those things and still was nothing bettered. And but praise the Lord, that night my brother told me about the gospel, and at that very time, that moment in my life, much of my friends were in prison, had been to several funerals of friends dying, and at that moment I knew I needed Jesus. And so the Lord saved me. And so for 19 years now, I've been praising the Lord. You say, Brother Justin, has it been easy? No, sir. No, ma'am. It has not been easy. But I'll tell you this. I know I have someone with me. And he allows me to overcome. He allows me to conquer. And I know that within myself, I could never overcome anything, never conquer anything. Was once addicted to drugs, again, drinking alcohol. So I know it was Jesus who changed my life. And if he did all of those things, he could certainly keep me daily, keep you daily. So I pray that you're saved this morning. And I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. And so good to see each and every one of you. And I want to welcome our visitors. We have some visitors this morning. And so good to have you with us. And Brother Don in the back, I'm sure, will make sure you get a visitor's card this morning just to keep a record of your visit. And so welcome to Calvary. And I want to mention a few prayer requests this morning before we pray, and a couple of announcements. Let's remember Miss Connie Teague. She's going tomorrow for her operation tomorrow morning. I don't believe they're here this morning. And so let's remember her in her surgery. Also, let's remember Brother Charlie Wilson. For those who do not know, he broke a hip and broke one of his hips. And last I heard, he was in Paulding Hospital. Of course, no visitors were allowed. And so it's also hard to reach him by phone. At least I've had trouble doing that. And so remember Brother Charlie. Of course, everybody knows the deacon here for many, many years. Just got to a place where he couldn't do that anymore. And so remember Brother Charlie. Let's remember in our prayers Miss Carrie Bennett as she continues to get better from her congested heart failure. I spoke with her this week, and she's doing better. She's doing better with the medication she's on. And so we praise the Lord for that. And I'm sure she's working right now, and she listens on Sundays. So we love you, Miss Carrie, and we're praying for you as you're working today. She's not working today. See, that's why I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, maybe she can play it back and be a blessing to her anyway. But anyway, let's remember Miss Carrie. Also, Miss Ruby Harper recently had surgery. Miss Claudia, was that this early this week? I've got so much. I thought it was. Okay. We actually spoke with Steve, her son, and she came through that operation well. She has another one in about a month. I believe it was a skin cancer surgery of some kind. So she's doing good. She's doing good. Praise the Lord for that. And there was something else I was going to mention. I know we've got several we're praying for. But let's remember those requests. Remember all the others on our prayer bulletin. You can pick up a bulletin to my right over here by the organ. Or you can go in the foyer on your way out and pick up a bulletin and look at all the prayer requests and everything else we have going on. Next Sunday morning, if we could, I would like for us to take up a love offering. I mentioned this to Brother Ceylon. The love offering is going to be for the Singers of Jubilee. And if we can just, I wanted to let everybody know this Sunday so you can prepare. If you can, I know things are tight. I know everybody's working from can to can and then some to make ends meet. But if you could, that'll be great. That would just help just a little with the groups we have. We have the Perrys coming, Old Paths coming, and Jaden's Call coming. And two of those we had a book through a booking agency. And so if you would, just remember that next Sunday morning, we'll be doing that, taking up a love offering for them. Also, CLU will be, I believe that'll be next Sunday, wouldn't it? Is that right? Next Sunday, and that is Calvary's Ladies Union, and they'll be meeting at 3 o'clock in Ceylon Sunday School Room, a Sunday School class just out here to my right, your left. And if anybody else would like to attend that, it's not just Calvary church members only, but any lady that would like to attend and be strengthened by other women of faith, you can be part of that at 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. Of course, choir practice to follow. And then service at 5. On the last Sunday of the month, we will be having our Sunday night fellowship. And we'll have food. And, of course, we'll be meeting downstairs in our fellowship hall. Of course, we'll bring a devotion as well, like we always do. And, of course, Jubilee. This will be our revival week, March the 6th, Sunday through March the 10th. And Sunday morning, on March the 6th, it'll be Brother Snyder preaching for us, the Perry singing. Sunday night will be Brother Sammy Burgess preaching, the Old Pass singing. And then on Monday, it'll be Brother Ricky Gravely preaching for us, Jaden's Call singing. Tuesday, it will be David Smith preaching and Jaden's Call singing again. And on Wednesday, we'll have Floyd Road Choir over to sing, and Brother Keith to preach. And then on Thursday to close out the meeting, Brother Craig Edwards. And we'll be using our Calvary folks to be doing the singing. So make plans being with us. And that'll be a blessing for you to attend that meeting. A couple more things concerning Jubilee. We have our Jubilee announcements over here. So you'll have a flyer to remember all the times and who's preaching when, who's singing when. And so remember to pick up one of those flyers, if you would. And also, if you plan on eating with us that week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, four meals, if you plan on eating at any point during that week before service, please sign up, if you would, on the sign-up sheet so we can get a pretty close estimate of how many we're going to have, because we're using a catering company this year. All right, so remember those things. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are thrilled to be here, thrilled to be called to be able to preach, and I know God has something He wants to say. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You, O Lord, for who You are. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are in charge of everything. And God, I pray this morning as we enter into worship, I pray, God, that You would gird up the loins of all of our minds here today. Give us a clear head and a calm heart, Lord, as we prepare to hear from You. I pray, Father, for Miss Connie as she gets ready for her surgery in the morning, if she's able to even have it. I know she has many complications going on right now. But we lift up Miss Connie, and we pray, God, that You would prepare her for this surgery tomorrow. Be with the family, Lord. Give them what they need to help Miss Connie. And, Lord, we ask that You be with all these other prayer requests. Lord, I know I've missed some that I was wanting to mention, but, Lord, You know about all of those. They're on our prayer list. And Father, we pray that You would meet with us this morning like You already have. We've sensed Your presence. Lord, we thank You for our visitors. May they get doubly blessed this morning for coming this way. I pray that they would hear from the Lord. I pray everybody would receive what they need to receive, Lord, so they can live a life that's well-pleasing unto You. Thank You for Your forgiveness of sin, past, present, and future. We are humbled by that. We strive for holiness. We strive, oh Lord, to know You more. Be with us today, and we'll be thankful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Take a hymnal. Stand with me. Choir, stand with me. Turn over to page number 333. We're going to go back and pull out an older song this morning. Hope you enjoy it as we sing, I'll Fly Away. All right, everyone sing together now.
Some glad morning when this life is over.
Now,
when the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison, brought and flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
This evening as well at 4 o'clock. Choir will be here with me at 4, and we look forward just to a great day in the house of the Lord. Go ahead and make Jubilee a matter of prayer.
Amen.
I honestly believe the Lord could even start to work on our hearts even now to prepare us. We need revival. Amen. If the church has ever been in a time where we need to be revived, we need revival. And we are so excited about it. I begin to pray for all of the men of God that will be coming to bring messages for us each night. And on Sunday morning, Brother Snyder will be here, and I'm very excited about that. I know you are as well. But we just look forward to a great week. But again, I believe God could start working on our hearts even now to prepare us for revival. Boy, I'd love to know that the Lord would revive my heart and revive my home. Amen. And in return, it would bring revival to my church. And God's been good to us, and He has something great in store for us. But I'm looking forward to the message this morning. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Pray for our pastor this morning. Pray for the choir as we continue to sing. But it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's go to him again in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service. Please remember all the prayer requests. There are so many that we could hardly list them all this morning. But the Lord knows about each one. He knew them before we even mentioned them, before they ever even crossed our minds. They were on his mind. And we just pray the Lord would just continue to be with each one. Pray for the offering this morning as well. Father, we love you. And how we praise you and thank you, Lord. This is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day you've made for us. Lord, you've given us the blessed opportunity to come to your house this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of the prayer requests that have been given. Some are even unspoken this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those especially. But Lord, I pray that you'd be with our pastor. Touch him. Speak through him, Lord. We know that you had given him a message. And Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive it. Now bless the offering, the gift, the giver. Lord, you know exactly what is needed. And Lord, I pray again that you'd fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Accept our worship and our praise. Lord, change us. Lord, may we be a different people when we leave than when we came in this morning, walking closer with you. Lord, fill this place with your Spirit. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name.
Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on
One touch. One touch. There's the touch of salvation. And then the touch of serving. And everyone needs both. We've got to keep them in that order. Salvation comes first and then serving Jesus. But we thank the Lord this morning for that song, Brother Randy. Thank you, Brother Allen, for our choir time. And it's just been a great service this morning thus far. I want to briefly just remind everyone, I hadn't stated it yet, but I'll say it, then I'll have everyone remind everyone a bit later. But March 5th is the Saturday right before Jubilee. We want to have a time of prayer here at the church. And so remember that. And I don't really think we're going to have a work day that day. Everything's pretty much done, unless we want to paint the church that morning. But it's going to take a little while to do that. So we're definitely going to have a time of prayer together. So remember that, March 5th, somewhere around 10 a.m. Mark chapter number 10 this morning. Mark chapter number 10. And we're going to look at some verses here in Mark 10, verse number 46 down through verse number 52. Been a little while since we've spoke on blind Bartimaeus, but we feel that that's what the Lord has for this morning. So let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to begin reading out of verse number 46 out of Mark 10. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. For the next few moments, we pray that you would enable us, Lord, to just be a vessel for your use. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit, that you would minister to the hearts of your people. If there's someone here that doesn't know you personally as Savior, I pray today would be that day. Maybe someone watching on Facebook Live. But even for the Christian that's been saved, let them know that their situation can still change. And all we need is a touch from you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This morning I want to preach for just a little while on blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus and the change that took place in his life. And so we have this story of a man named Bartimaeus, who was eventually known as blind Bartimaeus. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20, there were actually two blind men, but for some reason, blind Bartimaeus was the one that was well known. And so we have this story in Mark's account of blind Bartimaeus. We know he was blind and he wanted to see. Bartimaeus spent his days begging with his partner. And so we know that he was pretty much asking for money, asking for a little change just to get through his day. Bartimaeus had his garment, his cloak. You see in the picture there. I love that picture. We chose that picture. And we know he had a cloak. Of course, this cloak could be used from the elements, the weather. We also know that they used these cloaks, these garments to lay out and lay on top of, especially if they were homeless. And but Bartimaeus, he had his cloak. He was covered. He was begging and needing a touch from the Lord. So he heard of the Lord passing by. And we know that he, as scriptures say, he yelled out, he screamed, he cried unto the Lord. And we know the Lord touched him. And Bartimaeus, his situation, again, consisted of the same thing every day. Trying to get to a comfortable place so that he could ask for money. It was a miserable place, the place that Bartimaeus was in. It was a continual place. Bartimaeus, I guess you could say, was in survival mode. Survival mode. He wasn't in thriving mode. The man couldn't see, and he was begging. So he was in survival mode. He was in a miserable situation. Many times in life, we ourselves may find ourselves as blind Bartimaeus in some degree, just merely trying to make it through the day, trying to find comfort in our misery. And what you'll find out is there is never really any true comfort while being miserable. And so many times in life, this could be a situation for us, just trying to make it through the day, trying to adjust the circumstances. And I don't know this morning, maybe there's someone here who's in the same boat as Bartimaeus. Maybe you're not physically blind. Maybe you're just in limited circumstances where your life is limited by these circumstances. Well, you would love to just get up and go and do things and enjoy life. But because of this trial you're in, because of this particular situation that you are in, you are just in a miserable mess. My prayer is today, if that's you, that you'll find your help, the help that you need. There may be someone here this morning, someone watching on Facebook, that may be in this miserable mess, and their mess really consists of needing to be saved. They don't know if they died today, heaven to be their home. And so maybe that's you this morning. You're at a place where you've tried everything in this world for contentment and satisfaction, but yet it does not fulfill that void on the inside. You need Jesus this morning to be your personal Lord and Savior. But maybe you say, Brother Justin, I'm here this morning. I'm watching on Facebook. I'm already saved. I've already asked the Lord to save me. But yet you still may be at a place of being bound this morning. There may be something in your life that has transpired that has you on lockdown and you want to be free. And I say this morning that you can be free. The moment a person trusts Jesus as their Savior, they are free. And they're free indeed. But sometimes we fall into this trap of being bound to our circumstances. And sometimes we listen to the lies of the devil. And sometimes we succumb to our flesh and our carnality. And we just need a touch from God. And so this morning, blind Bartimaeus, I want to mention three things about him from this story. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you today. Three things that surround the change that took place in Bartimaeus' life. Number one, in verse number 47, we see a passing opportunity. Verse 47, the Bible says, or verse number 46, then 47, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of
Timaeus sat by the highway side begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." This was a passing opportunity to get help from the Lord. I say that because Jesus was passing by, him and his disciples, and they were coming from the coast of Judea, and they were on their way to Jerusalem, and as you know, it would eventually be betrayed in the garden and go on to the cross. But verse number 32 says, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. And of course, verse 33, 34 explains the next series of events. And so they were passing by. This would be probably their last time passing by Jericho on his way to the cross. And so all of these things hold weight for blind Bartimaeus, who's been begging his whole life. This was a passing opportunity. And so they were passing by. And Bartimaeus, again in verse number 47, the Bible says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Blind Bartimaeus knew that this was the only opportunity he would have between now and the death of Jesus on the cross, of course his resurrection. And so he took advantage of it. Bartimaeus had heard previously, I'm sure, of the miracles that Jesus had performed. Of course, he knew and he heard of his messiahship, and now he was passing by. And in the midst of his discomfort, in the midst of his despair, all at one time, he yelled out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." This morning, let me encourage you to shout out to the Lord, to call upon Him for help if you need Him. Again, number one, for salvation, for those who are not saved. But for those who are saved, I encourage you, in your condition that you're in, your unpleasant condition, if that's you this morning, to call upon the Lord for help. He is here to help you. He is here to guide you. And so the Lord was passing by. And Bartimaeus heard this. Now, in verse number 47, I want you to notice something else. The Bible says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He addresses him as, "Thou son of David." And you see, this entitlement, it was connected to his messiahship. And so no doubt Bartimaeus had heard of Jesus, this Jesus that would come in due time, that would be the Savior of the world. And no doubt he heard about the miracles Jesus performed, and perhaps even heard about him touching the other blind man that got touched. And all at one time, in all of this embodiment of truth, blind Bartimaeus sat there and he yelled out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." This morning, you need to do the same thing. I need to do the same thing. Jesus, if he could touch the blinded eye so they could see. If Jesus could speak to Lazarus and say, "Lazarus, come forth." If Jesus could turn the water into wine. If Jesus could take the fish and the loaves and distribute it and feed 5,000 plus 12 baskets left over, then surely Jesus could intervene in your life as well. Jesus knows how to save the sinner. Jesus knows how to allow those that are saved to continue to serve. Don't sit there this morning when you're in a bonded situation where you're in bondage and you're under control of the flesh. Don't sit there and squander away your Christian life. But yell out to Jesus this morning. Call upon Him. He knows how to touch His children and save sinners. So we see that there was this passing opportunity. And he addresses Jesus as the Son of David. Also, I want you to notice that while Bartimaeus, in verse 47, may have been asking for money his whole life, now he asks for mercy. He says in verse 47, middle ways through, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't say, "Jesus, thou son of David, give me money." But he said, "Have mercy upon me." You see, it was mercy that Bartimaeus knew that he needed. He had money, he had collected money, and he had ate and went to sleep many times, year after year. And all that did was take care of the immediate need, the physical need. And so Bartimaeus knew that he needed a much, much deeper need in his life. You remember in the book of Acts, when Peter and John, they went to the temple, the hour of worship, and what happened? They went up to the gate, and the gate called Beautiful, and there was a lame man there. And he was asking for alms. And the particular day that Peter and John went to the temple, the man had his cup out saying, "Alms, alms." You see, that lame man, he wanted money. That immediate need, that physical need to be met. And so I'm sure he did that for years as well. But then Peter said something to this lame man. The Bible actually says that he fastened his eyes upon him. He looked intently into the lame man's eyes and his situation. He was discerning what he really needed. And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up in the name of Jesus and walk." And that lame man walked, and his ankle bones received strength, and he jumped and leaped for joy, and he went to tell everybody about this Jesus that touched him, or about these apostles that presented Jesus to him, and about his healing power. This morning, as we look at Bartimaeus, he had all of his immediate needs met through the years, but he needed a much deeper need, and that was the need of Jesus. This morning, can I say that there's a much deeper need we all need than those immediate needs in life? It isn't just the physical, the things on the outside that we need, raiment and food to eat, a home over our head, a job to go to. But there's a much deeper need in life, and that is the need of Jesus. There's those who need Jesus for salvation, but then there are those who are saved who need Jesus to make it through the day. There are those of us who need Christ so that we can be enabled to serve in the magnitude that He has us in. We have the need of Jesus so that we can be the parents and so we can be the spouse we need to be. Not just be a good dad, not just be a good spouse, but a godly dad, a godly parent, a godly spouse. Bartimaeus, he asked for mercy, is what he asked for. Let us do that this morning. Let us come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I really need a touch from you. I am tired of being the same mediocre Christian. I'm tired of just being good at what I do. I want to be great at what I do. I want to be a great parent. I want to be a great spouse." It was a passing opportunity. Isaiah 55, you don't have to turn there, but in verse number 6, the Bible says, "Call on him while he is near." Isn't that something? Call on him while he is near. Genesis 6:3, it says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Genesis 7:16 talks about the door of the ark was shut. And then in Revelation 3:20, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So Jesus is dealing with lost men and women for a limited amount of time. There's coming a point of time when, like the ark door, it's shut. One day the church of God will be raptured out of here, and all of those who are not saved will be left behind. And so therefore Jesus, during this gospel dispensation, when the church is in the communities, we are reaching out to the communities, trying to offer hope and help to those who do not know Jesus. But it's only a limited amount of time. And then their door of grace will be over. And again, those of us who are saved, who need a touch from God, today is that day. Would you come to Him that are saved? Would you fall at His feet like Mary did with the alabaster box, with a broken gift of worship for Jesus? Allow Jesus to anoint you in your life. Well, we see a passing opportunity. There's a second thing I see. Not only a passing opportunity, but I see a persistent cry. Verse number 48, listen what he says. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. How about that? While Bartimaeus tried to reach Jesus' ear, there were people, listen to this, people trying to hush him. But Bartimaeus, in his persistent cry, got louder and louder, and then it reached the ear of Jesus. When you decide to live for Jesus, when you decide to sell out to Him, when you decide to be different, when you decide to make your life something for Him, do not be surprised when there's people who try to interfere. The Bible says again in verse number 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. You want to embarrass everybody. Bartimaeus says, Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David. Bartimaeus, be quiet. Be quiet. You're acting like a fool. Jesus, thou son of David, help me. Help me, Lord. I'm blind and I want to see. Shh. Shh. Don't do that. They're going to think that we're with you crying out like that. You see, sometimes when we go to serve our Lord with all of our heart, there are those who try to critique. There are those who try to sometimes they just try to interfere in a negative way. Sometimes it's our flesh that will interfere to try to relax our efforts from calling on God and serving God. Sometimes the world will try to interfere. And every time the devil will try to interfere. How many times have you called on the Lord for help? And something happened shortly after that. Some new situation would pop up. Somebody would contact you and say some kind of remark that would discourage you, try to discourage you. And it's all surrounded by the time where you called on the Lord for salvation or the time you called on the Lord for help. Well, there was a group of people who did that here. But you see, he was persistent. He got louder. And I love that. I love that because he didn't listen to the crowd. He didn't calm down. He didn't relax his efforts, but he was persistent. And praise the Lord for those who are persistent in their Christian walk. Praise the Lord for those who are consistent, who do not care, who sees them raise a hand in church and says, amen, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for them. I'm talking about from a time of worship all the way to just a regular day, living for the Lord, not caring what people think, witnessing in Walmart and sharing their faith, not caring or kowtowing about what people think. I remember at Floyd Road, I've never heard shouting before. Never experienced the freedom of the Spirit like that. Of course, I was newly saved, but going to church over there when we first started, I can remember people shouting, and it looked like they were enjoying themselves. It looked like they were actually, sometimes it looked like they were being healed from something. But praise the Lord, whatever it was, because there came a time where I wanted to do that. so much joy and excitement on the inside of me. I can remember the first time that I actually praised the Lord in church. I believe the song Scott Grantham was singing, and the song was, I know He is mine. He is mine. And it kept getting growing and growing and getting louder and louder. And on the inside, I just wanted to thank the Lord, and it filled my heart and my body so much, I was getting ready to explode. And I just stood up and I shouted. I clapped my hands. They were blood red. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm sure I embarrassed half the church when I did that. But you know what? It don't matter. It didn't matter then. Kept on shouting, kept on praising the Lord. And since I've been here, I've tried to bring over the style of worship that I've always had, and that's just being free in the Spirit. And so from a very simple standpoint as of worship, if you want to shout and raise your hand and say glory to God, listen, we're not talking about putting a show in the flesh. But if you want to praise Jesus, feel free to praise Jesus. Don't worry about the crowd that's sitting around you. Listen, the church needs to get more louder. That's two this morning. Thank you, brother. The church needs to get louder. Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to crank that old lawnmower in the driveway. I'm trying to pull that thing. And sometimes it takes going through a Sunday morning. And about on Sunday night, the last few minutes of the message, things pretty much kick in for everybody. Listen, I know everybody has a tough week from time to time. And listen, but what I'm saying, even when it comes to worship in the church or living your life out in the neighborhoods, the highways, the hedges, don't be ashamed of Jesus. If He has touched you, let it be shown forth by the fruits of your lips. Turn over to Luke 18 for a minute, if you would. I don't know if a bit of this is making sense or not. I'll go back and listen and see. Luke 18. There was a parable here of the unjust judge and the widow lady. It is a parable of persistence in prayer. Listen to this. Luke 18, verse number 1. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto Him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And look at verse number 6. And the Lord said, what did the Lord say? Hear what the unjust judge saith. Why will the Lord say, hear what that unjust judge said? I'll tell you why. I believe there's a principle here. And that is that we are to pray and not give up praying. Because in God's own timing, in His providence, in His own way, let us continue to pray for whatever is going on in your life and mine. Because at a certain time, God will turn the tide. God will do something concerning whatever's troubling you. Look in verse 5. He says, yet because this widow troubleth me. So he was being troubled. And then he says, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So this is what I gather. Jesus says, listen to what he said. So what did he say? He said within himself, he said that I have this widow coming to me. And unless I step in and do something, she will continually come to me and weary me. She's troubling me. And so I got to do something about it. Because if I don't, she's going to wear me slap out to death. Now I know Jesus does not think this way. But there is a principle here about continuing to pray till something happens. And that is, Jesus, in so many words, like the unjust judge, is saying this. I come to him with my problem time and time again. He's like, oh, here's Justin again. I go to Jesus again. Lord, Lord, it's me again. When will you step in? Oh, man, that boy of mine. Whew, I tell you what. Dear Jesus, help, help, help. We have family problems. And she's knocking on the door to the unjust judge's house. And so she continues, and I continue, and I know you continue. So what Jesus is saying is, I better do something eventually, because he, she, whoever will slap, weary me out, coming to me all the time, asking and asking and asking. I, at the appropriate time, will avenge, will step in. What is it this morning? What area of life do you need an intervention in? Have you gone to the Lord time and time again, and yet there is seemingly no answer? You get down to pray and you feel like that your prayers aren't going through the roof, through the ceiling. They're stopping. We recently went through a situation for a pretty long amount of time. It really began 6 years ago, where we had a persistent prayer and a persistent cry. And for 6 years, it was ups and downs with this situation. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it was bad, but the end result from what the doctor said wasn't going to be in our favor. And so we wrestled with what would become of this. Would this potential surgery, would it end with this dear person being in a wheelchair? How would it go? Would they die on the operating table? This is just how I felt. And every time I'd go to pray, it was such a struggle. And I started out 6 years ago, Lord, 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 we did not get the report we wanted today. And so I'd come again, Lord, 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 will you do this? Will you heal this individual? And so for 6 years, it continued. You know, I say that, and then I say this, that finally we got to a certain place. The place of acceptance. And as I look back, I think, well, maybe that was the Lord's intention anyway. To get us from a place of only wanting one answer from God, to get to a place of whatever happens, God's in control. And I think that was the case. But on that sixth year, that last time, I'm going to say this morning, we got to that place of accepting whatever the report would be. And finally, the doctor's visit came, and the doctor, as Miss Christie testified last week, he laid out the exam paper. He said, I don't know why you're here. She's fine. Everything is great. No need for surgery. Listen, you can't shout about that, but I can shout about that. And I say, praise the Lord for his goodness this morning. Something that we battled with for a number of years and cried and, oh, God, I remember after getting that report, I walked back out into our garage and I looked at my prayer chair. And I can remember all of those mornings. I can remember all of those afternoons and those evenings. Say, Lord, would you please do this? Lord, would you please do this? And now that God has touched her, and he didn't have to, but he did. And listen, church, I'm trying to go back to my main point. And my main point is this, be persistent in your prayers. Be persistent in your cries to God. Who cares what anybody else thinks? You cry upon Jesus for help. You live for him. Go the extra mile and allow Jesus to work in your life. That's what we're looking at this morning. Praise the Lord. We see that in verse number 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Go back to Mark for a moment. Back to Mark. Mark chapter number 10. We see a persistent cry. He got louder. He got louder. The crowd tried to hush him, but he got louder. And then lastly, not only do we see a persistent cry, a passing opportunity, but then we see a passionate Christ. Look at verse 49. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I don't want to spend a lot of time here. I ain't trying to overemphasize or over-spiritualize anything. But that garment, that cloak he had, listen, before salvation, before he received his sight, that was very personal to him. He slept with it. He covered himself with it. He spread it out. He laid upon it. That was one thing that brought comfort to him before Jesus. But the moment that he meets Jesus, he cast that garment to the side. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize anything, but I just like to think that before I got saved, there were a lot of things I took comfort in. But the moment that I got saved, I don't find any comfort in them anymore. They're all cast to the side. So he cast his garment to the side. And then, verse number 51, And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Verse 49, that first phrase, And Jesus stood still. Jesus, in that whole crowd, recognized someone who was truly calling on him for a spiritual need. Just like the woman who had the issue of blood, and there was many that day that surrounded Jesus, but he felt her touch. You want to know why? Because Jesus can differentiate what's real and what's not real. And so this blind man, he needed a touch. Jesus stood still. It was from a heart of asking God. It was Jesus knew that Bartimaeus recognized him as the son of David, the Messiah. And so he stood still. It got his attention. We can get Jesus' attention this morning. Bring to him your need, your care. He'll stand still for you as well. Doesn't matter the size of the crowd. Jesus has the whole world in his hands. There are many who call upon him for needs, but yet he still stands still for you and for me today. Jesus stood still. And so we have a compassionate Christ. Through the noise of the crowd and the multitude of the people, Jesus took notice of Bartimaeus' cry. Jesus stood still. Bartimaeus had the ear of Jesus out of everybody because Jesus responds to the call of mercy. Bartimaeus is saying, Lord, I don't deserve it, but be merciful to me. Back in Luke 18, verse 13, don't turn there, I'll just give it to you. The publican said, Be merciful to me, a sinner. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. We have a compassionate Christ this morning who will stand still for you during your time of need. We have a persistent cry. He cried the louder. He just kept on crying. Although the crowd try to interfere, like in our lives, there are things that try to interfere our pursuit of Christ, our flesh, the world, the devil, sometimes family and friends. But keep on striving for him that you may know him in the power of his resurrection. And then it was a passing opportunity. It was his last time passing by. I don't know when the rapture of the church will take place, but it will happen soon. And if Jesus is speaking to your heart about salvation, this could be the very last time that an invitation is given to you. Those watching on Facebook, this is your invitation as well. Maybe you're already a believer, and you just want to come and do business with the Lord and cast your cares upon him. Whatever the need is, you feel free to do what you need to do this morning. As we stand to our feet and sing an invitation verse,